chapter 8, reading verse 48 through verse 59. John chapter 8, reading verse 48 through verse 59. The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. You say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. And we'll conclude there this morning the reading of God's holy word. In 1988, a man by the name of Salman Rushdie wrote a novel entitled Satanic Verses, bringing into question the history and integrity of the Muslim religion. Rushdie was born in India and was raised as a Muslim. But at the age of 15, he denied the faith and left the Muslim religion. Soon after the book appeared in the marketplace, a ruling came down from the Ayatollah Khomeini that pronounced a death sentence on Rushdie. The fatwa, they call it. The command to assassinate. And Rushdie went into hiding. I don't know if he ever came out of hiding. He may still be hiding. Recently, people were killed in demonstrations all over the world because of some cartoons in a Swedish newspaper depicting Muhammad in a very unfavorable light. In one of these cartoons, he was depicted as wearing a turban on his head with a bomb in it. People in the West cannot understand why the Muslims of the Mideast, the religious leaders, get so upset with the criticism of their religion that they must kill people. In America, we have the Da Vinci Code, which can play all over the country, and it's based on lies and untruths about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We allow it in the name of free speech. There are no death threats. There are no demonstrations. There are sermons. And I think a lot of Americans and a lot of American Christians could really care less. If American Christians were like the Muslims, we would put out an assassination command for the author of that book. The producer and or director of the movie is Ron Howard, who played Opie Taylor on Andy Griffith. I can't see myself commanding assassination of Opie. But that's the way they think. Don't blaspheme our God or we'll kill you. But you know, long before Salman Rushdie, long before the Muslim incident, in the Mideast, 2,000 years ago, there was another case where the same thing happened. Only this time it was the Jews of that day and Jesus Christ. And that incident is recorded in our text today. We find here an assassination attempt against a man whom they thought blasphemed God. They considered Jesus a religious lunatic. He is dangerous and he needs to die now. No trial, no jury. And to save his life, Jesus had to go into hiding. Just like Salman Rushdie. In John chapter 8, verse 59, after this conversation, they therefore picked up stones to throw at him. And there's no trial, there's no jury. This is death on the spot. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. To save his life, Jesus disappeared. And you know, sometimes we can do that too. We can simply disappear. The Jews picked up stones. Stones the size of my Bible. To throw at him. To kill him. And Jesus went into hiding. He simply disappeared. He was gone. Now that's what I call getting serious about your religion. We in the West cannot understand and grasp why people get so upset about their religion. I'm happy we're not killing each other. But I'm also sad that we don't get upset anymore when our Savior's name is blasphemed. And I want you to remember that before the Muslims, before the cartoons in Sweden, this is not the first time this ever happened. This happened 2,000 years ago, almost the parallel events. You can't say that about our God. You're going to die. And he hides himself. How upset were they? Enough to kill him on the spot. This is what I call a heated discussion. This is not the kind of discussion that you hear every day, that you want to hear every day. What we have here is Jesus saying to the Jews, "You are of the devil." And the Jews saying to Jesus, "No, you are of the devil." I don't know in what kind of voice they said it. I don't know if they were saying it in a very controlled manner. I just don't know. The Bible doesn't give us that kind of information. You're of the devil. No. You're of the devil. What you're teaching is straight out of hell. No, what you're teaching is straight out of hell. You have a demon. You are a Samaritan. Verse 48. The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" There was no lower life. There was no one more defiled in the eyes of the Jews than a Samaritan. And then in verse 49, Jesus said, "I do not have a demon." And in verse 52, the Jews said to Him, "Now we know that you have a demon. You are insane, crazy, a lunatic, a mental case. You need a straitjacket. You need to be put away permanently. You're arrogant, haughty, egotistic, insolent, the son of a..." And you can add the word to that. They would say, Samaritan. This is not a friendly conversation. This is a conversation where somebody's going to get killed over religion, which in America is very, very strange. Somebody's going to die. What did Jesus say that made these people react the way they did? What did Jesus say that made them so angry they believed they needed to kill Him? Assassination on sight. All points bulletin. If you see this man, kill him. Just like Salman Rushdie. If you can find him, he may be hiding, but if you can find him, kill him. On the spot. What did Jesus say that stirred their anger so much? Well, we see here the conversation in verse 51. He said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." If you keep my word, you will never die. Whoa, that's a big statement. How can you make that statement? Jesus already has said something similar to this. Whether they caught it or not, I'm not sure. But He already said in John 6, verse 50, "This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die." He's already said it once. Now He's saying again, if you keep my word, and it's not there if you only believe in my word or trust in my word, but sanctification follows justification. If you keep my word, you'll never see death. And we may ask ourselves, well, what was Jesus talking about there? And because Jesus died, and we all died, the Jews died, and some people believe that He was talking about the second death. The Bible talks about the second death. There's the first death, and there's the second death. The second death is where all of those in Revelation 21:8, the second death. I'll read that real quickly. "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And many people believe here He was talking about the second death. But the Jews only understood reference to the first death. And you can tell by their argumentation in verse 52. The Jews said to Him, "Now we know that you have a demon." And anybody who'll say you'll never die must have a demon. That's contrary to experience. It's contrary to science. It's contrary to everything we know. Abraham died, and the prophets died. And you're not greater than they are. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. They all died. Who do you think you are by making such a statement? Everyone dies. The greatest of men die. There are graveyards all over the place. There are funeral homes that never go out of business. They do business all the time because people die every day. Every town in America has a funeral home. Everyone living today, everyone in this church is going to be dead in 50, 60, 70, 80 years. We're all going to die. There's no way you can avoid death. Not one of us will be left on this earth. And Jesus says, if you do the things that I tell you to do, if you do my works, you'll never die. And they say, this man is delusional. You know, he's been on LSD too long. Maybe he's taking cocaine. Maybe he's got into a crystal meth lab somewhere and he's just out of his mind. Normal people don't say such things. He's a proud man. And Jesus says, no, I'm not proud. Verse 54, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. You know, if you talk about yourself and you tell everybody how great you are and how wonderful you are, you're nothing. We all know that, right? If you're all the time bragging about yourself, what you've done, who you are, what you've accomplished, you know what you are, you're nothing in God's eyes. If somebody else glorifies you, you're really something. If my Father who glorifies me, it is my Father who glorifies me of whom you say He is our God. If somebody else glorifies me, that's another thing. And that's okay. That's not pride. That's not self-glory. Verse 55, and you have not come to know Him, but I know Him. And if I say that I do not know Him, I will be a liar like you. Now that's not very nice. If I say I don't know God, I will be a liar like you. Tit for tat. One right back at the other. You're the devil. You're the devil. No, you're the devil. You're the devil. You're a liar. You're a liar. Now if I say this, I'll be a liar like you. You're a liar. This is what I call a heated theological discussion. Not at the seminary level, but beyond that, I guess. And then Jesus goes on and makes another statement that just stuns them. Problematic. These are problematic statements. They can't understand them. If you keep my word, you'll never die. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and when he saw it, he was glad. Well, now we know you're crazy. And they really reverse what Jesus said. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He was glad. And the way they interpret it is as is Jesus is saying, I saw Abraham's day and was glad. The implication is you have seen Abraham. That's not exactly what Jesus said. He said, Abraham saw my day. The Jews took it, I've seen Abraham. Now look, if you've seen Abraham, you must be an old, old man. Right? If you've seen Abraham, I mean it's been, what, hundreds and hundreds of years since he lived, and you say you've seen Abraham, you must be an old man. But you know what? You don't even look 50. You're not even yet 50 years old. You look younger than 50. And you tell us you've seen Abraham? To have seen Abraham, you would have had to live hundreds of years. 50 was the magic age. 50 in the Jewish people was becoming a senior citizen. You weren't counted in certain things for war and so forth. You must be 800 years old or older if you think you've seen Abraham. You're crazy. That's statement number two they didn't like. They didn't like it when he said, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced and was glad. You know, when Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice him, and God provided a substitute, Abraham was in some sense seeing Jesus Christ by faith. I think that's what Jesus probably meant there. And then finally, he broke the camel's back with his last statement in verse 58. And he says, truly, truly, listen up. I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, he doesn't say I was. If he said I was, he might have gotten by with it a little bit. But when he said I am, well, that's it. Because I am was the name of the God of Moses. When Moses was to go to the Pharaoh, I think it was in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel. Not the Pharaoh here, but the sons of Israel. And I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. What? And now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent you. Those are the magic words. Those are the words that give us the name of God. That's the God who delivered Israel from bondage. And His name is I Am. You see what Jesus is saying here? Not only did Abraham see my day through the sacrifice by faith, or at least willing to make the sacrifice by faith. But Moses and I spoke one with another. And I am the God that Moses spoke to. I am the God, and Moses was the serpent. I am Jehovah. I am the God of Israel. I am the God of Moses. Jesus, if you want to stay out of trouble, you don't say things like that, right? You don't tell them, if you do my works, you'll never die. You don't tell them before, or Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. And then you got to go and tell them, before Abraham was, I am. He could have said, I was, but he says, I am. Well, Jesus, that's it. You've gone and claimed yourself to be God Himself. You said you could cure death. That was, we don't like that. You said you were the son of Abraham, or you saw Abraham. We don't like that. But now you're saying you're the God of Moses, the God of Israel, the God who created the world, the God of all the nations. And we won't have that. Now we know you are a lunatic. Those are colossal claims that no man can make. Now, brethren, either Jesus was a lunatic or He was the Son of God. No sane man could say these things if it was not true. Either Jesus was demon-possessed or He was God in the flesh. Either Jesus was a liar or He was the man of truth. One or the other. See, there's no gray here. There's no room to roam in the middle. Either he's the Son of God or he's a lunatic. Either he should live or he should die. Either he should be the ruler, the king, and worshipped and bowed down to, or he should be put to death. There's no middle roadness here. What do you think? Where do you stand? What is your relationship to this Jesus? How do you know what he said was true? How do you know that Jesus was I am? Abraham saw my day. If you do the works, these works, you shall never die. Well, let me give you one text as we conclude here today, which was proof that everything Jesus said and everything Jesus did was true. And God didn't leave us here without anything. We know the rest of the story. The Jews basically killed Christ. And it would appear that because he's now dead in the grave, that he was a lunatic. He was out of his mind, claiming to be God, claiming to live 1,000 years, claiming to be able to cure death. I mean, who can do that? Who in the world can do that? Well, how do we know Jesus was speaking the truth? And there is one way we know. And that's very clearly the first thing that Paul wrote when he wrote the book of Romans. Let me just read to you what he said. He said, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, but who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord." What does the resurrection mean? Well, it means a lot of things to a lot of people, but it means three things here we've seen this morning. That Jesus has conquered death. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Christ and was glad. And Jesus Christ was the God of Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and of all Israel and of all the world. The resurrection proves that Jesus was not insane. He was not a lunatic. He was not a man with pompous claims. He was the Son of God. We know this by the power of His resurrection. He is risen. He is risen. Now we know, truly, He has conquered death. Abraham saw his day and rejoiced. He was the God of Moses. He is our God. For He is risen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we see here a very dangerous conversation that results in an attempt to kill another man. And we are confronted with the issue of whether Jesus was a lunatic or whether He was the Son of God. And our Father, by the resurrection, we know He was the Son of God. He was the great I Am. He has conquered death. He has conquered hell. And we are here today to worship Him, the risen Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.